Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Tanya Mosley. Well, it is college admissions season, and that means anxious high school students are searching for any edge that will help them stand out. And here's one pop culture example, Rory Gilmore from The Gilmore Girls.
Good grades aren't enough. I need to do things. I need to volunteer. I need to work for charity. I need to help the blind, the orphans. I don't know. I just need to do something.
But amidst all of the SAT scores, grades, internships, letters of recommendation, summer programs, extracurricular activities, resumes, AP tests, and personal essays, some admissions officers say something is still missing from college applications, and that would be kindness. That's what Rebecca Sapke argues in her most recent New York Times piece, Check This Box If You're a Good Person. Rebecca was director of international admissions at Dartmouth and now has an application reader. She's now an application reader for them. And she joins me from her home in Norwich, Vermont. Rebecca, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thanks for having me, Tanya.
So listeners, we also want you to hear from you. If you have a thought about this, we also want to hear what you think about this idea of kindness as we go through this discussion. So I want to start by asking you, Rebecca, in your essay, you talk about this letter of recommendation that really struck you. You wrote that, quote, it was the most surprising indication of kindness you had ever come across in your admissions career. You've got to tell us more about this, that student, that letter, and why the application stood out to you.
Sure. So I've been doing this for a while. I've been working in admissions for 15 years, and we receive a lot of letters of recommendation. The common application, which is the most common, as it's called, application in the United States, requires two teacher recommendations and a guidance counselor recommendation from every applicant. A couple years ago, however, we received an additional letter of recommendation from a custodian for a particular young man who was applying to Dartmouth. And it really struck me as unusual for many reasons. Number one, he talked about the student's thoughtfulness when nobody was watching. And I think, in college admissions these days, we get a lot of recommendations from people in positions of power or wealth or fame. Some students will send additional recommendations from people that they think can influence their applications because, you know, they're celebrities. However, this letter of recommendation was from the school janitor who had watched a young man pick up trash in the hallways, turn off lights in empty rooms, and learn the names of the entire custodial staff at that particular high school. And it was something I'd never seen before, and it was something that really excited me.
What's really interesting to me, though, when I read that part of your essay, I thought, but this guy just sounds exceptional. I mean, he's going and turning off lights and knowing all of the janitor's names. Really, you know, I just read off all of the list of all of the things that students think about when they're applying to college. Do you feel like this idea, though, of having kindness be a factor where folks are thinking about what others are thinking of them as they're walking through life might also be a burden?
I think that kindness is important in college admissions, and I think right now there's no way for us to, you know, quantify or qualify how a student treats another student in the classroom. However, how you treat people who can do nothing for you is critical. And I think, you know, I think the college admissions process is cutthroat. And I'd like to think that you can be smart and kind, and you should be smart and kind. And I think, you know, for this particular custodian to write this letter, I believe it was unprompted. We have no way of proving that, but I believe that this letter was unprompted. I think this custodial staff member wrote to us because he wanted to speak for this particular student. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, if it becomes a burden, I think it's a good burden to have. I think if you know, high school students start treating each other with respect and dignity, you know, when no one else is watching and not just for credit, that'd be a good thing.
So listeners, I forgot to give you guys the number. It's 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Let us know, do you think that kindness should be measured? And really, I want to ask you, Rebecca, How do you measure kindness? Of course, you received in this application a janitor who wrote these kind things about a young person. But what are some ways that we'd be able to measure kindness?
That's the great question. And that's the question I hope that educators, across the globe are trying to answer. In college admissions, it's very difficult to measure kindness, but I think people are working on it. For example, at Dartmouth, we have a supplemental essay question. It's a prompt that literally says, three things in human life are important, is a quote from Henry James. The first is to be kind, the second is to be kind, and the third is to be kind. And so we ask students to share a moment when kindness guided their actions. The Dean of Admissions, Lee Coffin at Dartmouth, thought this would be a nice kind of supplemental, optional question to ask of students. I think that, I think that lots of admissions officers are trying to, find ways to make relationships with guidance counselors and teachers, to let them feel honest and in a confidential environment, to really share what they feel about students. Are the students getting an A just to get an A and maybe at the expense of, maybe some other students in class? Or is it a student who goes out of his way to help the other student, study for a test, and so they both do well? It's a really tough thing to measure, but it's something that I hope people are at least thinking about and working towards.
We actually have a caller, Emily, from Acton, and she's a little bit of a cynic about it. Emily?
Well, I think that my first question is just, who had the idea of including a letter from a custodian? I think there are a lot of kids that are incredibly kind, oftentimes, and also we all make mistakes. But when you're in the admissions process, you have to balance your kindness and your humility with your ambition. And this just makes me wonder, did the student ask the custodian for the letter? Because the student's generally the one who submits the letter of recommendation, which I found incredibly awkward when I was asking teachers to say good things about me.
Mm-hmm. Emily brings up a really good question, Rebecca. Was this prompted? And how is that when you're asking people, hey, will you write a letter about how kind I am?
Yeah, absolutely. And as I mentioned before, we don't know if they're prompted or not. Unfortunately, there's no way for us to tell. But in reading the letter, it really felt like this custodian was doing something. He had worked there for a really long time. I think he genuinely wanted to help this young man. And I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah.
What the truth is.
But. Emily also brings up the idea of young people growing into who they are. So she talked about how many young people are kind, or they're growing into kindness. What do you say to the idea, though, that college is part of fostering the person? And so maybe as people go into the application process, they may not be as kind as they will be when they leave college. That's kind of the purpose of college, is to kind of form who you are and who you will become.
Yep, and I agree with that, of course. You're going to college to learn, and you're learning how to become a person as well, a kind person. But I do agree that many, many students out there are kind. I'm very grateful for my job, because I feel good about the world each and every day, because I read applications from the most talented, impressive young people who are going to make a difference in this world. Mm-hmm. And yet I just think, if we're measuring SAT, if we're looking at SAT scores and we're measuring grades and we're looking at all of these other things, kindness would be a great thing to at least have admissions committees considering when they're reading these applications. And perhaps, the letter from the senator, who clearly doesn't know the student but is just writing it because he feels like he has to, because maybe a student's father or a student's relative asked him for the letter, that doesn't hold as much clout as a letter from somebody who perhaps, the student doesn't think can, quote unquote, do anything for them in the admissions process, but in reality, they can show us a side of a student that we're not already seeing in that application.
Right, in their academics. And we have a teacher on the line, Mary from Andover. She's asked to write recommendations all the time. Mary.
Hi, thanks so much for taking my call. I just want to thank your guest and thank you for having this topic on your show today. I teach in a very high-stakes school district, and our students start stressing in their freshman year, and they're so busy trying to pad their resumes that they don't stop and take time to even think about kindness. It's not that they are innately unkind. They're just laser focused on got to get into college. And I think it's unhealthy for them. And this idea of including kindness is a wonderful reminder. So thank you very much. And I hope more schools adopt this practice.
Rebecca, she speaks to a lot of what you said. And you also talk about having folks who know you and maybe deepening those letters. You talked about the power of the anecdote. Can you talk more about that?
Yes, absolutely. And I want to thank Mary for writing those recommendations, because we know how hard it is for folks to write recommendations. And we know that many, many teachers and administrators write a lot of letters of recommendations. And sometimes the best letters just tell a story. They don't have to be long. They don't have to use superlative, language. But if they can tell us a story about a particular student in a particular instance in a classroom, sometimes that paints a picture more than, you know, the letter that goes on and uses all those superlative adjectives.
Yeah. Ryan from Haverhill, he says, kindness has been lacking in schools. Ryan, are you there?
I sure am. Thank you for taking my call.
So you say it's really going back to the schools themselves and kindness within the schools.
Well, to a certain degree, yes, but I think that the college application process sort of accidentally fosters this egocentric approach where it's, you know, me, this is, and the way, you know, you would apply for a school is, this is what I do, this is who I am. But I think kindness is, unfortunately, we don't have a metric for it yet, but I think it's very important because it's about me and how kind I am, but it speaks more about, you know, what you're willing to do for others who, like you said, have nothing to offer you in return. I work with adults with developmental delays, and it's been a very humbling experience. And I just feel like if more people could open their eyes to the degree of kindness and how substantial it is, they could see how effective it could be. And I just I think this is a great idea. I hope to see it explode in the future.
Thanks for that, Ryan. Ryan brings up another really interesting point. There was just last year the Harvard Graduate School of Education surveyed 20,000 students, and what they found was that most of them ranked being a caring person below academic achievement. So really what Ryan was saying is, do you think that current college admissions really fosters that idea of my academics and less about kindness? And how can they change that?
Yeah, unfortunately it does. I mean, it's a competitive process, and whenever you have competition, you create a system that is making people, you know, try to outdo the other. The kindness metric is very, very difficult. But I do think, you know, we will find a creative way to at least hopefully not allow students who are, you know, taking advances at the expense of others to kind of get into these elite colleges. And I don't have the answer, and that's why I wrote the essay. I don't have the answer. But I do think sometimes, you know, I'd rather read an essay from a student who writes about how they treat other people than an essay about a student who just goes on and on about how she is treated, right? I'd rather, you know, get to know what is the motivation here for this particular student. Are they motivated because they want the Ivy League degree, or are they motivated because they want to help others? It's difficult, but, you know, the college admissions process is not making this any better.
And you say you don't have the answers, but many colleges, including Dartmouth, is actually taking this as a step to say, when we measure kids, when we're looking at all of these applications, let's define some ways that we can ask specific questions that get to the heart of whether you're kind or empathetic. Correct?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep. And you know, that Dartmouth supplemental question is a perfect example of this. And I think even behind the scenes, you know, it's funny, I worked at an institution before Dartmouth where the woman at the front desk, the receptionist, she would keep notes if a student treated their parents poorly on a tour.
Ooh.
and it was never an official part of the application, but if there was a student who really was not kind, to their family on the tour, it was something that was there if we were interested in using it. And so I do think as, you know, the college admission process also becomes more competitive, we're going to have to get to the point that we're going to be looking at other factors. You know, when everyone has perfect SAT scores, you have to go to something else, right? Mm. And when everyone has perfect grades, you've got to go to something else. And so hopefully these intangible personal qualities will start to seep through the college admissions process and help us make better decisions.
Okay, so we have Jill from Wellesley on the line. She says she's cynical about it all, though. Jill, are you there?
Hi, yes. And I think it's interesting, you know, this whole, just what she just said about having to have perfect SAT scores and perfect, when everyone has perfect SAT scores and everyone has perfect grades, you need to look for something else. And I think this just goes to the whole idea of these colleges looking for exceptionality from kids. And, you know, this idea that now they have to be exceptionally kind, they have to be have exceptionally good grades, exceptionally good test scores. And I think what's being lost in this whole process is just finding a good kid. Mm. You know, it's not the exceptional kid, but the good kid. And what we're finding from these graduates from these Ivy League schools is that actually this exceptionalism is really a problem in this day and age. And so, you know, I'd like to hear what they have to say on this whole idea of exceptionalism. And I just feel like now they're adding kindness to this idea of having to be exceptional.
Thank you for that, Jill. What do you say to that, Rebecca? But what about choosing a holistic kid and maybe them not being perfect all across the board and that pressure to be perfect?
Absolutely. And I don't want to paint the picture that students have to be perfect. There is no perfect student. But the reality is, you know, and I, to be fair, you know, I'm speaking from someone who reads applications at Dartmouth, where mm-hmm. our admit rate is around 10%. It's incredibly competitive. I tell people I didn't get in there, which I actually find, you know, interesting. I work there. I choose these students, and I got denied from this institution many, many years ago.
And you're competing against some places where the acceptance rate is 5%.
Exactly. And it's crazy. It is absolutely crazy. But it is competitive. And so, I don't have the answers, but I do think that, you know, the kindness piece of this, that custodian recommendation, when you have a student who goes out of their way to help others and it's coming through the application in through different lenses that makes it feel, you know, real, it really helps a student's candidacy.
I'd love to know what's been the reaction to your op-ed piece from colleges, from students, from staff, faculty.
Yeah. It has been overwhelming. I have received emails from, everyone. I've received emails from students. I've received students emails from, I've received students, sorry, emails from a custodian. I received emails from the heads of schools. I've been in newsletters. The piece really went viral, and mostly good. Of course, there are plenty of cynics out there, but I do think it has helped foster the conversation, and lots of people are thinking about this. I don't want to make it seem like this is just solely my idea. I read an application. I wanted to talk about a custodian recommendation because in my career, it has been the one thing that really stuck with me. It was such a unique piece of an application that I really felt like I needed to say something about it. But there are lots of people talking about this, and I think I really struck a nerve with this New York Times piece. It went viral, and I think it's because a lot of people have strong feelings about college admissions these days.
And we have so many people who are on the line. We have time for one more call. It's from Yvonne from Brighton. And Yvonne, you feel conflicted by this.
Yes, I do. Hi, everybody. I just want to say that I do think this is a great idea, and I would have loved to have this 10 years ago when I was applying to college. But at what point does it become artificial? Because if you're being graded on kindness, then it kind of becomes like how people will feed homeless people, but then put it on YouTube so people will say, oh, how great they are. Mm-hmm. How do you decipher what is real and what is not?
Rebecca, thank you so much, Yvonne. That's a great question. At a certain point, you even wrote about this in your article that now probably next year you'll be receiving tons of recommendations from janitors. When does it become like something that people are doing specifically for the purpose of college?
Yep. Yeah. And I did write about it in my piece. You know, we've been saying in my admissions office, you know, we're preparing for all the custodial recommendations next year. And I laugh just because I think that – if nothing else, if this piece makes students realize that being a kind person to other human beings, and you know what, even if it's to get them into college, if they're paying a little bit more attention to the person who's cleaning their toilet, that's A-okay with me. And I just think in a crazy world right now, a little bit of kindness goes a long way for college admissions or for not college admissions. And so that's why I wrote the piece.
Well, thank you so much, Rebecca, for joining us and talking a bit more about your piece. That's Rebecca Sapke. Thank you so much. She's former director of international admissions at Dartmouth College, and her piece in the New York Times is Check This Box If You're a Good Person. You can link to it at our website, radioboston.org. Rebecca, thanks again for joining us. Stay with us. There's more ahead. Coming up, prosecutors dismiss thousands of cases potentially tainted by former state drug chemist Annie Dukun. I'm Tanya Mosley. This is Radio Boston.